In 2012, I did hospital ministry in Texas, and every day I saw suffering, I saw pain, I saw death. And so seeing so much suffering and pain and death every day, it really impacted my prayer life. And so I would leave the hospital every day and I would go back home and spend time with Jesus in the chapel. And as I would be with Jesus in the chapel, the only image of Jesus that I could see in my mind and in my heart was Jesus Christ crucified, was Jesus Christ on the cross. And the only words that I could perceive from God were these: if I gave you no more gifts, if all you had was the dead body of my son Jesus on the cross, would that be enough? Would that be enough for you? Would you still come and spend time with Jesus if you received no more consolation, you received no more gifts, you could no longer perceive the voice of God? Would you still come and be with Jesus? And depending on the day, I gave a different answer. I mean, there were some days where I was able to say, yes, Lord, right? Jesus, you are sufficient, you are enough. And there were other days where I would say, I just don't know. And I found that the days where I was content with Jesus being enough, in the midst of all the chaos of the suffering and death that was going on around me, there was an interior peace. From the days where I would grasp at needing to have the gifts to go along with Jesus, those are the days where I would experience interior chaos along with the chaos going on in the world around me. This is the question for all of us as disciples of Christ. Are we going to worship God, or are we going to worship the gifts of God? Are we going to worship the God who gives us gifts if they're good for us? Or are we going to pay more attention to having to have those gifts that come with sometimes being in a relationship with God? Because if I focus on the gifts over and above my focus on God, I'm never going to be at peace. I'm going to have chaos perpetually happening inside and outside of my life. It doesn't matter what kind of gift it is. It could be the gifts that St. Paul speaks about in his letter to the Corinthians, right? The gifts of tongues, our interpretation of tongues, our prophecy, our evangelization, our teaching, our healing, our service, right? There's all these different gifts and they're all good. But if I focus on those gifts more than I focus on the God who gives those gifts, it's not going to be well for me with my soul. I'm going to be disordered. It might not be the spiritual gifts, though. It might be the gifts of ministry. Right, the gifts of being able to lecture, to proclaim the word of God at Mass, or to be an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. The gift of being able to bring Jesus to the homebound and visit those who are sick and suffering in their homes, or are feeding the poor in our food pantry. There's so many different gifts, so many different ministries, that sometimes we can think about our ministry more than we dwell on God. Disorder happens. Maybe it's not ministry. Maybe it's my concern with my own health or my own wealth or whatever, and we start prioritizing my health over and above prioritizing my intimate time with Jesus. And most commonly, it's relationships. I focus more on a relationship I'm currently in, or one I'm not in that I want to be in, or a friend or a former friend or a spouse or a child or a parent or a coworker, and I think more about that person than I do about the face of God. And anytime we do this, there's going to be disorder. Father Champagne, this past week, he gave us our Lenten mission on the wounded healer. And on the third night of that mission, he focused a lot on St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And one of the things he said was that Mother Teresa was spending time with her sisters and her community. And she said to them this. She said, In my heart, there's only one chair in my heart. And it is a chair that Jesus Christ sits on. That chair belongs to Jesus and only Jesus. Now look, I don't think it's a problem if we have many chairs in our hearts. But as long as we have the main chair belonging to Jesus, then the other chairs can be in their proper place. I mean, it's as if we were like in a classroom. We're in a classroom. There are many chairs and desks for our classmates and for ourselves. But there's only one teacher. And for those of you who are teachers, you know, anytime a student will take the place and sit in the teacher's chair, what happens? All right, chaos. Disorder happens. Because the wrong person is in the wrong chair, that main chair in our heart. It belongs to Jesus, not to the gifts of the Spirit, not to the ministries that the Lord invites us to enter into, not to the relationships that He allows us to experience. The main chair is for God and for God alone. And if we ever put a person, a place, or a thing, an idea, or a ministry, or a spiritual experience in the chair that belongs to Jesus, we're going to experience chaos. This is what happened with St. Peter. St. Peter walked with Jesus as a disciple. He was our first pope. He was with Christ for 3 years in his active ministry. And then he received the Holy Spirit and continued to walk with the rest of the apostles in the beginning stages of the church. And guess what? For many of the years of his life, he wasn't really about just Jesus. He was about Jesus and the gifts of Jesus. Not Jesus alone. It was Jesus, I'm with you insofar as I get to experience the gifts that come with being with you. He liked walking on water. He anticipated seeing Christ raise people from the dead like Lazarus. He wanted to see his mother-in-law get healed. He liked seeing the blind see and the deaf hear and the mute speak. He enjoyed seeing the apparitions of Moses and Elijah, those two figures from the Old Testament, appear before his eyes on the top of Mount Tabor and hearing God the Father's voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is his beloved Son. Peter liked the supernatural. But when it came to the mundane, when it came to the boring, when it came to suffering, he was not about that. When they're on the mountaintop experience, he said, Lord, it is good that we stay here because it felt good, because it was nice, it was entertaining, it was exciting. That's where he wanted to be. And what did Jesus say? Okay, let's stay here. No, Jesus said, let's go down to Jerusalem because I have to be crucified. And Peter said, Lord, I forbid you from doing that. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Because Peter wasn't about Jesus. He was about the fun, the supernatural experiences that come with Jesus at times. When Jesus invited Peter to the Garden of Gethsemane, to the agony of the garden, Peter got there and he didn't hear the Father's voice. It wasn't exciting. He didn't see the angels. He didn't see the saints. It wasn't fun. And so instead of waiting with Jesus for 1 hour, he chose to sleep instead because it just wasn't what he wanted. He wasn't really about Jesus. He was about the gifts of Jesus. And insofar as he was about the gifts of Jesus, he experienced unnecessary interior suffering in his walk. And it wasn't until he became totally about God and God alone that he experienced the peace in the midst of the chaos in the world around him. That same thing applies for all of us. The Lord desires to sit upon the throne in our hearts. He desires to be the main person in this chair over here. And we can have many other chairs, but nobody can sit in His chair. He wants to be the one that we dwell on, the one that we think about, the one who we speak to, who we desire and long to listen to. He wants to be our everything. He wants to be enough for us. With or without the fun and exciting and insights and entertainment and supernatural experiences that might come from a relationship with him. In the early 1900s, there was a woman, her name was Gabrielle Bosis. She was a lay mystic, she was a nurse. And Jesus would appear to her on occasions and they would have these conversations. And in one of their many conversations, Jesus asked her, he said, Gabrielle, who is your God? You are me. And she said, of course, Jesus, you are my God. So then he asked her, he said, well, if I'm your God, why when you pray do you think about yourself more than you think about me? How many of us have experienced that? We go into prayer, we set aside time for prayer, for time with God, and the whole time we're praying, we're thinking about ourselves. Now, the whole time we're praying, we're thinking about our ministry. Or the whole time we're praying, we're thinking about the spiritual gifts, or our family, or our friends, or our enemies, or our wounds, or our mistakes, or our stuff. But we're not thinking and looking and speaking to God. He's like, look at me. And I'm not saying it's bad to spend time in prayer interceding for our family and our friends and our enemies. I'm not saying that's bad. That's a good thing. St. Paul calls us to constantly pray for one another. However, we should never let our prayers for other people trump our time spent facing God, looking at God, adoring God, worshiping God. I'm not saying it's wrong to discern ministries and discern where God's calling us to go, but that has its proper place, and then the rest of our time should be spent showing God that He is our God by focusing on Him in prayer. So, what are some things that can be helpful for us to help us to orient our gaze and our attention, our focus on God? I can give us a few things. They might be helpful depending on your particular temperament and personality. One way is through like praise and worship music and our personal prayer time to have music, right, that's edifying, that allows us to focus on Jesus. That's about worshiping Jesus. Why? Because sometimes when we pray, if we don't have something to orient our attention back to God, I don't know if y'all have ever had this happen to y'all, but you're praying and you go into prayer, and then all of a sudden you start thinking about something else, and you don't even realize it. Like for me, it's like bacon. I love bacon. And so I like go into prayer, and I'm like, ooh, man, should I get Applewood bacon this week? Or that other bacon? And am I going to have eggs on my bacon this week? And if I do eggs, am I going to do them like boiled or fried or over whatever, or scrambled? If I do scrambled, I could put cheese in it, and jalapeno cheese, because it makes it spicy. Then all of a sudden, I spend 30 minutes of prayer thinking about eggs and bacon. That's not prayer, right? But it can happen to us. So the music can help us to reorient our attention and focus our attention on God, to dwell on God. But some of us may say, well, you know, music's really not my thing. I find music distracting when I'm trying to have intimacy with Jesus. So what else is there for us to do? Another thing we can do is pray the rosary, right? Remember, the rosary is that Christocentric prayer where we focus on the life of Jesus Christ as He's revealed His life to us in the sacred scriptures, the Holy Bible, particularly the Gospels, right? Where we read the passage and meditate on the passage and talk to God about the passage. And then we pray those Hail Marys out loud, while we go to the different beads with our hands, because we're physical, we're sensual beings. And so if we're praying out loud, then we're going to stay on course on focusing on Christ. But again, what happens? Sometimes if we're not praying out loud, we can start our rosary in our heart, and we're praying the rosary, and we're focusing on Jesus, and then we see a bird, and we're like, ooh, bird. Oh. Then the bird makes you think about another animal, and then another animal, and then you think about your ex-boyfriend or girlfriend, you're like, that dog cheated on me, right? And all of a sudden, we're not praying anymore. We're focusing on passing things. So it can be helpful to pray out loud so we can stay on course, the task of Jesus. All right, but maybe we're in a season where it's very difficult to meditate. Maybe all we can do is just look. And that's why we have statues in churches. That's why we have paintings. That's why we have stained glass. Because we're visual people sometimes and we need to see. And so we can look upon an image that can draw us to dwell on God, to face God, to think about God, to speak to God, to listen to God above and beyond every other good gift that God may or may not allow us to experience. If we can be consistent and intentional with prioritizing facing Jesus Christ in prayer in this life, on this side of heaven, then we open ourselves up to the opportunity of that which we were created for, and that's to gaze on the face of Christ in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity.